Isaiah chapter 30, if I didn't tell you, go to Isaiah chapter 30. And I want to speak with you a message that the Lord placed upon my heart. Let's read in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18. I want to read that together. It says this. Again, Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18. And it says this. Therefore the Lord longs. So I want you to say longs. Therefore the Lord longs to be gracious to you, and therefore he waits on high to have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are all who long for him. I want you to say long. Let's read that one more time. It says, therefore the Lord longs to be gracious to you, and therefore he waits on high to have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are all who long for him. And I want to speak with you for a few moments this morning on the subject of how blessed are all who long for him. How blessed are all who long for him. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would help me to share your heart with your people. For Lord, you have much to say in your word. And I am so thankful that there is a longing in your heart that is towards me as an individual, towards us as a church, Lord, towards all of us as individuals. And so I pray, Lord, that we would understand your heart today. That, Lord, it's your desire to have mercy and to show grace and blessing to each and every one of us. But you wait for us to have that same longing for you. And so I pray that you would bless the preaching of your word this morning in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. In this chapter of the book of Isaiah, Isaiah is actually prior to this promise that we just read in verse 18 has been giving a warning to the people of Judah. Judah was the southern kingdom after the kingdom of Israel had been divided, with Israel to the north and Judah to the south. And those in the land of Judah tended, for the most part, to have a heart for God. You find in the history of Israel that those in Judah had godly kings, they had revivals, they had prophets that spoke the word of the Lord, and Judah tended to be a people that served the Lord with all of their hearts. But sadly, there were seasons when their hearts were drawn away and pulled by the ways of the world around them, the Canaanite religions, worshiping gods of Baal and others. And so those in Judah, for the most part, had sought the heart of God, but by this time in Isaiah's prophetic ministry, Judah had begun to grow callous. They had walked with the Lord, they had a testimony of walking with the Lord for a season, but by this time their walk with the Lord had become one of just pretense, of going through the motions. And in many ways, our lives and our walk with the Lord, if we are not careful, can fall into that same pit. Where we're walking with the Lord and we're going to church and we're doing the Christianese of things. But sometimes if we're not careful, we can begin to take on the heart of those in Judea at this time. And so Isaiah, through the word of the Lord, would warn them of what was coming to pass in their own hearts and in their lives. And it also shows how it began to break, if you will, the heart of God. And you can see it, and if you can read with me in chapter 30 and verse 1. Isaiah, prophesying to the children of Judah, says this, "Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel, but not from me, and make an alliance, but not of my spirit, in order to add sin to sin. They walk down to Egypt and have not asked from my mouth to strengthen themselves." Or, let me read that again. "They walk down to Egypt and have not asked from my mouth to strengthen themselves in the safety of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore the safety of Pharaoh shall be their shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt, your humiliation. Skip down to verse 8, and it says this: Now go and write before them on a tablet, this is the Lord speaking to Isaiah, and note it in a book, that it may serve in the time to come as a witness forever, for this is a rebellious people, lying children, children who refuse to listen to the law of the Lord. They say to the seers or the prophets, You must not see visions, and to the prophets, you must not prophesy to us right things. Speak to us pleasant things, prophesy illusions. Get out of the way, turn aside from the path. Let us hear no more about the Holy One of Israel. And in this portion, you can see how far the hearts of those in Judea had fallen away from God. Now, what's interesting in this portion of Scripture is that these are a people who have a history with God. They have walked with God for many years. They have seen God move in powerful ways. They have experienced, like I said earlier, revivals where the power and presence of God would be so strong that the people would just break out in worship and in praise to a living God. And in this history of Judah, you see a people that knew the power of God. They knew that God would be faithful to them. They've heard the prophets declaring the word of the Lord. But sadly, in their walk with the Lord, by this time, the scripture says again in verse 1 that they're taking counsel, but not from the Lord. They're going and they're asking for help from others. They're receiving counsel from others, but they're not inquiring of God. Where they used to be a people that would get on their knees and they would pray and say, Lord, should we do this or should we do that? What should we do here? How should I answer? Should I go here? They would inquire of the Lord for His answer so that they can walk in the ways of the Lord. By this time, they are taking counsel of others and not from the Lord Himself. He even says that they're making an alliance, an agreement, but not with the Spirit of the living God. It even says in verse 2 that they're walking down to Egypt, and they're not asking of my mouth to strengthen themselves. They're strengthening themselves instead in the safety of Pharaoh and in the shadow of Egypt. This is a picture of a person who once had a walk with the living God, and in the time of distress, in the time of trial, would get on their knees and cry out to God for direction, for help, for strength. And God would respond and answer their prayers. They had a relationship with God. But sadly, at this point in their relationship with God, it had begun to grow callous. They're not on their knees like they once were. They're not praying like they used to. They're not seeking the face of God anymore. They're doing the religious thing. They are attending church on Saturdays. Back then it was Sabbath day worship. They're in the synagogues. They're listening to people claiming to give the word of the Lord. But they're saying, in essence, we don't want to hear the right word of God. We just want to hear comfortable things. We want to hear words that are going to comfort us in our sinful lifestyle, that are going to help us and encourage us in our manner of life that we're living now, even though it's not in tune with God. And they've turned to Egypt. They've walked down to Egypt. They're looking for safety in Pharaoh, and they're trusting in the shadow of Egypt. Egypt is always a type of the world. When you were saved, whether it be years ago or recently, you were saved from Egypt in a way. You left this world and you forsook the ways of Egypt and you've put your trust in the ways of God. You've put your trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We've turned away from the world. Amen. We repented. We've turned our backs on all of that worldliness and worldly ways. We didn't find comfort in the world anymore. But when we begin to allow our hearts to grow callous and we just begin to just do the everyday kind of thing and it's not intimate with God anymore, we can begin to, like these in Judea, to begin to trust in Egypt again. We begin to turn to the world for its entertainment. We begin to turn to the world for its counsel and its direction. And if we're not careful, we begin to change and become just like the world all over again. Those in Judah, their hearts had now begun to trust in the shadow of Egypt, and it's breaking God's heart. God desires His people. He longs for His people. He wants to bless them. He wants to show Himself strong on their behalf. But the people's hearts have turned to Egypt. And so the Lord speaks to Isaiah and He says, write it down in a tablet, in a book. Write it down so that it will be a witness forever that this is a rebellious children, a rebellious people. They refuse to listen to the law of the Lord. And they say to the prophets, don't see visions. Only prophesy to us right things. Don't prophesy to us right things. Rather, speak to us pleasant things. Prophesy illusions. It's sad that in the day that we are living in, I was just listening to a sermon from Pastor Carter Conlon, Times Square Church. He preached a sermon that was talking about the parable where there is a gardener who plants a tree. And after that tree has been there and it's been allowed to grow for a season, he goes after a while to look for fruit on that tree. And instead of finding fruit, it's barren. There's no fruit. And in the parable, the owner of that tree says, well, cut it down. Why is it just there? But then one of the workers says, well, no, let's give it some time. Let me dig around it. Let me fertilize it. Let me feed it well. And let's see if there will be fruit. And in many ways, that parable speaks of our day. The Lord is looking out to you and to me and into our lives. And we must be a people engaged with the living Lord, in touch with God, so that our lives can bear fruit for His glory, so that people will look upon us and see a difference in our lives. Instead, it's so sad that the current state of much of the church is that there is more of the world in the church than there even seems to be in the world anymore. We want to go down to Egypt and find of its delicacies because we've grown tired of hearing the right things of God. And we must guard our hearts that we don't allow ourselves to get into that place. Amen. We must guard ourselves that we don't fall into the trap of this world, that we have to have all the delicacies of the world, but yet we don't want the separation of the world. God wants us to be separate from the world. Now, don't misunderstand me. That doesn't mean for us to go and live in our own Christian community somewhere, away from all the unsaved. That's not what we're talking about here. There is no way for the light to shine in darkness if we're not in the darkness. Amen. There's no need for salt, but that it's in a place where the salt is going to work. We live in an unsaved community, in a place where there is unsaved people. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about our own hearts and lives, where we need to come back to that place of walking in holiness before God. In walking in sincerity and in truth, in righteousness and true holiness. Where we are different than the rest of the world. But we must be careful when it's our own hearts, even my own. I'm not just talking to you, I'm talking to me. Amen. When we begin to say that we don't want to hear the right things of the Lord, but rather we want to hear the pleasant things, and we want the illusions to be spoken, when we even begin to say, as God is dealing with our hearts, to get out of the way and turn aside from the path, let us hear no more about the Holy One of Israel. You see, what's going to help us not to fall into that place is when we begin to understand God's heart. You see, here I've been speaking on the way that those in Judah had begun to grow callous to the things of God. And hear me now this morning. I am not in any way saying that anyone in this congregation this morning is callous towards the things of God. That's not what I'm saying. But what we're saying this morning is that we must guard our hearts with all diligence, as the Proverbs say, for out of it flows the issues of life. We must guard our hearts that we don't grow tired and weary of the things of God, and we don't find joy or pleasure in the things of God anymore, but rather we begin to go after the heart of God. And when we do, we will begin to understand how blessed are all who long for Him. You see, after all of this rebuke, after all of this warning to Judah, and you can read the whole chapter later if you'd like, all the way from verses 1 through 17 as he's warning Judah. All of a sudden, out of nowhere in verse 18, it says, "Therefore the Lord longs for you." The Lord is not looking to hurt these people. He doesn't want them to go into these places of pain or ultimately captivity, which would ultimately happen to them. The scripture says he longs to be gracious to you. That is who God is. He longs. This is God. Have you ever had a longing for something in your own heart and life? Sometimes you're passing through a store like Costco, and you pass by the refrigerator things and you see that big cheesecake. And all of a sudden your stomach is longing for that cheesecake. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It's a desire for something, right? It's like you want it. You don't need it. Right? You don't need that piece of cheesecake. We all know it's not good for us, but boy, does it taste good going down, right? Not everybody likes cheesecake, but there's a longing. There's a desire. And the Bible says that God's desire is for you, for me. Even as these people are as rebellious as they are, even saying to the prophets, "Prophesy us to us pleasant things. We don't even want to hear about the Holy One of Israel anymore." God's heart hasn't changed towards them. He longs for them. It says the Lord longs to be gracious to you, and therefore he waits on high to have mercy on you. He's longing for them, and he's also waiting for them just in their hearts to turn to him. And in the moment that they would turn towards him, God would ultimately pour out what he longs for and be gracious to them. See, God wants to be gracious to you and me as well. And there are seasons sometimes when we can kind of just get weary of going through the same thing every day and every day. But in the midst of it, when we say to the Lord, "Lord, I'm longing for you now," the Lord responds with his longing towards us. Amen? The Bible says he waits on high. He's waiting with longing in his heart to bless you, to bless me, to pour out his grace upon us, to extend his mighty hand and help us through. But he waits for us. And it says, "For the Lord God is a God of justice. How blessed are all who long for him." How blessed. How many of you want to be blessed this morning? We will be blessed as we long for the Lord. He needs to be our desire. He needs to be our number one. The one we're pursuing. The one that we are going after. The one we are longing for. And if we do, the Lord says that he will be gracious to us. But let's read on a little bit more, because the Lord will begin to speak to us as well. Look at verse 19. It says, "O people in Zion, inhabitants in Jerusalem," he says, "you will weep no more." He will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. Though the Lord has given you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet he, your teacher, will no longer hide himself from you. But your eyes shall see your teacher. Your ears shall hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." Whenever you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. It's amazing what the scripture is saying here. That as we turn to the living Lord and our longing for him begins to increase, he's going to return with that graciousness and he will listen to our cry. And the Bible says very clearly that even though, you see, sometimes the Lord allows us to eat the bread of adversity and affliction so as to get our attention. Sometimes in the midst of a test, it seems like, "God, where are you?" But it's in that test that he wants us to turn to him. Amen. When we are in school, for those of you that are in school, when you take a test, an exam, the teacher is usually silent. Right? You don't hear from the teacher. They're letting you take that test. In the same way, the Lord is our teacher, and sometimes he'll allow us to face a test. But he says, you will see your teacher, and your ears will hear his voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." That is the direction of the Lord. When you turn left, he will direct you to the left, right? Whenever you turn to the left and when you turn to the right. And it goes on, "You shall defile also your graven images overlaid with silver and your molten images ornamented with gold. You shall scatter them as an impure thing and say to them, 'Be gone.'" That's the consecrated life, the separated life, the life that begins to grow in tune with God. And those old idols, we begin to look at them as just that. Whatever it was that was stealing our attention that we should have been giving to the Lord, but we were giving to those idols, we turn to those idols and say, "Be gone." Amen? They begin to be crushed. It all boils down to this. God has a longing for you. That is Bible. He longs to be gracious and merciful to you and to me. But it says, how blessed are those that long for him. When our longing for the Lord becomes one of intimacy with him, and we begin to fall madly in love with our Lord God Almighty, and we begin to walk hand in hand with him, the reality is that God will begin to bless our lives and begin to speak to us and begin to direct our paths. He will come into your life and he will direct you in every aspect of your lives. He will direct the parents to love their children. He will direct the children to love their parents. He will direct you in how you handle your finances. He will direct you in where you go and who you hang out with. Because you love him, he will be your longing. And because he has your heart, he will begin to direct you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." It's easy to get rid of those idols when you're in love with the Lord. When he is number one, we don't look to Egypt. We don't look to idols. Our longing is for him, and anything that is a distraction from our own relationship with him is easily gotten rid of. Amen. And so ultimately, this heart's cry of the Lord is reminding the people, "I am for you, I desire you, I want to bless you." But he waits for their own heart to turn to him. He waits for them to desire within their own lives him, to desire and to seek after God. The scripture reiterates that truth over and over again. It says, seek the Lord while he may be found. The book of Revelation says, behold, I knock on the door. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into you and sup with you and you with me. It's all about that place of fellowship with God Almighty. Let me tell you something. Church, religion, churchianity is not going to keep you in the coming days. Did you hear what I just said? You as an individual, every one of you at the sound of my voice in this room, needs your own walk with Almighty God. You can't lean on the coattails of your parents, on your mother or your father. You can't lean on what has happened in your family in the past or even in the present. You need to have an encounter with God yourself. And I'm here to tell you that God longs for you. He wants to reveal his heart to you. He wants to be gracious and merciful to you. And that's why the scripture says, how blessed are all who long for him. That is going to come from your own heart, your individual desire. And I'm here to tell you, you will be blessed if your longing is for him. Amen. All the other things, the getting rid of distractions, the getting rid of idols, the fact of his voice being clear, all of that is the byproduct of our relationship with God. Amen. Amen. Let's stand this morning.